The time now is 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind, coming up right now.
And this is The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And your hosts, Benjamin Starr.
Hello, hello.
And Julian Joiello, myself.
Full studio today.
And we have a full studio today. We're very, very happy to have Seth Goldman and Mike Sklier here with us today. How you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, hello, hello.
Hello, great. Hello. And we're talking about New York today.
That's right, New York
City. We
kind
of always talk about New York because we're broadcasting from New York.
But tell me, Julian, when you think about the iconic personalities of New York, right, whether it's people who work here, people who live here, when you think of, say, for example, an occupation, what do you think of as the iconic New York occupation? I mean, just throw a few out there.
Well, I mean, if I'm throwing a few out there, definitely I would start with MTA conductors.
Sure.
For sure.
Stand clear of the closing doors.
Stand clear of those closing doors or else you will die.
Yeah.
Cops. We've got...
Right, NYPD.
We've got the deli guys.
Sure. Bodega owners.
We've got bodega owners. We've got cart guys. We've got... we got taxi drivers.
Taxi drivers.
That's really like, I think that's like the one that everybody kind of knows.
Yeah.
And they come and to the city and say, oh, I'm gonna take a yellow cab.
The real cab, right? The yellow cab. Not the new Uber,
right,
Lyft.
Ubers are sort of, you know.
They're half cabbies. I'm talking about real cabbies. Real old school New York City taxi drivers.
Right.
And today, we are going to discuss... the profession of taxi driving. So for
you tricked me. You tricked me. You were trying to.
I baited you.
You baited me with that question. Yeah. Huh? You were like, "Oh, he's going to say it. He's going to say the way." And our topic today.
Well, listen. You know, it's very interesting to me, and I want to just let everyone know that we have a Seth here in the studio with us is a New York City taxi driver, and
live
Seth,
in the flesh.
I want to thank you for taking the time to be here today.
Well, good thing about having a crummy job is when you take off, nobody cares. I take off whenever I want.
Well, I know we have a lot of cabbies out there who are listening to us in the car today. And, you know, we're dedicating this episode to you guys. So, you know, hold tight. You're almost done with your shift, I believe, right? Isn't it 4:30 at the end of the shift?
Getting, you know, at 1 o'clock mentally, you're starting to taste 4 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I want to tell everyone first the story of how I met Seth. And this is one of those stories of... serendipity, and really just one of those great New York stories of random encounters. And it was over the summer. I was at a Mets game, and I was there with a friend of mine who was visiting from out of town, who's a big baseball fan, and he'd never seen the Mets' new stadium. So I told him, "I'll take you to see a Mets game, and we'll have a walk around the stadium." Finally, long story short, we get up to our seats, and it's pretty crowded. And we, you know, I didn't want to go all the way down the row to sit in our assigned seats. And there was a group of empty seats available. I said, "This is good enough. Let's sit here." And so we sit down. And to my left, I noticed there's two fellas sitting to my left, one of whom I swear I recognize from somewhere. I'm not sure where. And I say to my friend, "I don't know where I know this guy, but I know him from somewhere." And sitting next to Seth... was Sandy Boyer, the WBAI host of Radio Free Aaron on Saturdays here. And I knew Sandy from a WBAI meeting that Julian, you and I had attended. I recognized his
right,
face.
Right, our kind of monthly producers meeting.
Right. So I recognized Sandy, and I swore I know this guy from somewhere. I thought at first maybe he had been a professor at Queens College. I couldn't place him. And I turned to him, and I said, "Excuse me, sir, do I know you from somewhere?" And as soon as he, you know, started talking and I heard his voice, I knew where I knew him from. Right?
That voice.
Right. But and over the course of the game, I got to know Seth, who was attending the game with Sandy. And Seth, turns out, is a big fan of WBAI as well.
Yes,
and
I am.
This is not your first rodeo. You've been on these airways before.
Been on these airways. And actually, if it wasn't for taxi driving, I probably wouldn't be such a big BAI fan, because it was really when I started driving in 84, I really started listening regularly. And actually, Amy Goodman came on the station that very same year. So BAI has been just an essential part of my, dare I say, thought process, such as it is now.
A companion
now.
In the cab.
A companion, for sure. So
amazing.
I mean, it's great to be on the airwaves and be, you know, hopefully entertaining a BAI audience, the best audience in the world, and the Positive Mind, maybe the most thoughtful show, dare I say.
Well, it's I appreciate
BAI.
The compliments.
That means a lot. Thank
well,
you.
Flattery will get you everywhere. Right?
Yeah. Well, listen, Seth, I wanted to have you on the show not just because you drive a cab, and because I think it's really interesting to hear, you know, the cabbie is ubiquitous. You can't walk around Manhattan without seeing yellow cab. But I think there's so much in the life of a cabbie, and people don't really know what goes on there. And I wanted to ask you some questions about what that's like. But first, what's really interesting to me is that you and Mike here have collaborated to record some music. And you write poetry, and Mike writes music, and you guys have set the poetry to music.
And it's all about taxi issues. I mean, everything that we do is with taxi drivers in mind, to sort of lighten their load. And I hope, you know, when they hear it, that's what it does, because, you know, it's a tough job.
Right, and it kind of also applies to the everyman in New York City, too, right?
Yeah, it's a great New York City album, too. It's not just about, I mean, it's about taxi driving, but it's also about New York City and all the different ways New York City has changed, and all the things about New York that make New York, New York.
Beautiful. Well, we want to share one track off of an album that you guys have done, and the album is called...
It's called The Bards of Gridlock.
The Bards of Gridlock.
The Bards of Gridlock.
I love that.
Well, can I say that was when we first did a performance, myself, John McDonough, and Davidson Garrett. John McDonough is on BAI, on Radio Free Aaron. We were interviewed afterwards by the New York Times. Matt interviewed us, and on May 6th, 2013, in the New York Times, poetry from the streets by those that know them best. And he called us the Bards of Gridlock. So I kept it in mind for, you know, a year and a half, and I finally wrote a tune with that in mind. I love that title. It's a really great honor to be one of the Bards of Gridlock.
named by the New York Times.
Yeah, and again,
what an honor.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. Seth Goldman and Mike Sklier here, The Bards of Gridlock. And we're going to hear a little bit of their music.
Yeah, this is a track off of their album, Bards of Gridlock. It's called Surfing Through Traffic. All Have right. a listen.
Houston Street. How long is this going to go on? What is this, 5 years? Now down to one lane, moving me over to the right with a million cars. Hey, there's Yonah Schimmels. Maybe I should stop in for Kanish.
Surfing through traffic.
Waves crashing over me. 6 lanes of traffic cut down to 3.
Surfing through traffic.
Look out for the riptide. Construction all over the Upper East Side. The Second Avenue subway. Construction is a disgrace. How much longer is this going to go on? I can't stand it anymore. And look at all those businesses there. Nobody's going to go in. They can't even see them, find them.
Surfing through traffic.
Some surfer crashed on ahead. Everyone's rubbernecking to see if he's dead.
Surfing through traffic.
Got a cloud in the sky. I'm stuck on a stalled car wondering why. If only I was out of this yellow Nissan in the Caribbean. Oh, I would drink some rum. I would get naked and go into the Caribbean Sea.
Not gonna happen.
Biker. Yeah, you give me the finger. Yeah? How do you like this, you goddamn bastard? Get in your bike lane. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, how about it? You want to go? I'll go.
Through traffic.
Waves crashing over me. Six lanes of traffic cut down to three.
Surfing through traffic.
Look out for the riptide. Construction all over the Upper East Side.
The transverse closed again? You gotta be kidding me. I'm sorry, ma'am, but I have to go up to 79th Street now.
And that was Surfing Through Traffic from the Bards of Gridlock, our guests here in the studio today.
Yeah, we've got Seth Goldman and Mike Sklier. Seth Goldman, a longtime cab driver in New York City. Seth, I have one question for you. I hope you don't play guitar while you're driving.
No, I do not. I don't do anything except two hands on the wheel, if any TLC is listening, and concentration. That's what it is.
He's a good driver.
I mean, when you yell at bikers, do you do it in song?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
I do.
Good. That's because I feel like that kind of alleviates the pressure and the stress of
bikers are a nuisance. Yeah, there's no question about it.
You know what I hear in that recording, Seth, is I hear the aggravation and the frustration.
Oh, the pain.
But it's tempered by a really wonderful sense of humor. How does the humor help you get through the day?
Well, you know, it's a job where a lot's not going to happen in terms. I'm not going to be getting the million-dollar apartment that's advertised all over the city and giving and the phone number following how great it is, so all the luxury. You know, it's my expectations in life, Ben, are very simple. I'm a man of simple pleasures, poetry that rhymes, a cold beer. And, you know, that, I guess, helps me as a taxi driver. I love serving the city. And, you know, in a way, I mean, I'm very proud. It's an ultimate New York City job. It's a great workforce with so many different kinds of people. So I kind of take that part of it, and it makes the aggravation maybe a little bit less, easier to deal with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that, though, in the song, that there's such a wonderful sort of sense of irony and humor, and that's it really adds to the music. I mean, you feel that, you know?
Yeah, I hope taxi drivers hopefully listening. I know a lot of cab drivers love BAI. Hopefully they're enjoying this program, especially today.
Yeah, to those cab drivers out there listening to WBAI, hey, how's it going? We've got one in our midst today on the Positive Mind.
And let me say, how rare do you hear taxi drivers or domestic workers or any kind of workers on a radio station? I mean, it's just, you know, the people's radio station, WBAI.
Well, that's what we're doing here. We like kind of representing the population, all kinds of people in New York City.
And all walks of life.
Yeah, and all walks of life. And Ben bringing in Seth was kind of awesome. I like this a lot. This is fun. And we're hoping you all stay tuned until 2 p.m. today for this special program.
Yeah, I think it would be fun, Julian, if we just did a series of all kinds of New York City characters come in the studio and talk about that experience. One that struck me, imagine if we could get like a hedge fund manager and a homeless person at the same time.
Yeah, Armand actually had a story where he was like also, he said that the one thing that everybody can connect over, because there was a huge riot and a parade right downstairs outside of this building that we're broadcasting from in Midtown. There was a workers' union
strike,
and it was really, really tense. And then all the heads of the company that they, you know, they were all upstairs and they were having meetings about, you know, what do we do? What do we change the thing? I don't know if we do that. And then Armand said that he went there, having grown up in the East Village, but at the time working on Wall Street and not really liking it very much. And he brought a plate of peanut butter and jellies, and he got the head of the strike. and the head of the company to talk over peanut butter and jelly. And he said,
"The great equalizer."
There right. And he said, "Peanut butter and jelly is kind of like this equalizer for between the classes." And they were able to actually talk without throwing bricks at each other, without cursing each other out. It was a great equalizer. And I remember Armand telling me that story, and it was really great. It's kind of beautiful.
They couldn't curse because their mouths were full of peanut butter. So yeah.
Right, they were like, you couldn't even hear.
So Seth, I'm wondering, yes. what's been your best fare? Have you had a fare that was just really memorable for whatever reason?
It's not even close. It was picking up Mel Brooks.
Wow.
Yeah. The king of the Jews, as I affectionately call him. I mean, no offense to anyone out there, but the greatest Jew since Jesus. Growing up in the 70s, I don't know if Seth, what's the guy's name? The guy, the smoking pot guy, he's in a lot of movies now.
Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe you feel that way, young people, when they go to see a Seth Rogen movie, that, hey, I'm going to laugh, it's going to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But really, in the 70s, it was nothing like going to a Mel Brooks movie. And, personally to me, my father was a big fan of The 2,000-Year-Old Man, which was a bit that Mel did with Carl Reiner.
Yeah, that's a radio bit, too, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was a hit record in the 60s. And they did it in... at parties at first, and then it was Carl Reiner interviewing who Carl Reiner created Make Room for Daddy on TV. So he's another great Jew, a tall Jew too. And
Dick
Van Dyke Show.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I meant the Dick Van Dyke Show. Excuse me.
So you had Mel Brooks in the back.
Mel Brooks in the back of the cab.
So what was that like? Well, how did it start off? Well, where was he going?
I was much more nervous than I am now. I was very nervous, and I didn't see him. I just heard his voice, and he told me where he was going. He was going to the theater where the producers was playing.
Where'd you pick him up?
Picked him up on 56th Street and 2nd Avenue. I was coming over the 59th Street Bridge on a Saturday from Queens, from a fair into Queens. And then I came back empty, as often happens, especially now. And picked up Mel, gets in the cab. He said, "I'm going to 44th and Broadway, but you can't go across 45th or 47th anymore. There's a no left turn, so you have to go across earlier." And I can't see him because he's right behind me. And
but you recognized his voice?
How could you not?
You knew immediately.
Oh, my God, I did. I was very nervous because I wanted to be able to tell this 15 years later on WBAI. So what that meant was I didn't want to say, "Mel,
it was all planned.
I love you. You're the king of the Jews. You're the greatest Jew since Jesus." I didn't want to say that. So I thought, what can I do? Okay, what am I going to do? And I turned. And then from that point on, there was a double parked truck. Mel said, "Look at that. One to the left there, and there's one to the right. They don't care. You, on the other hand, you have a tough job. And I could see you're not the normal cab driver." And, of course, that often is a racist comment, although Mel didn't mean it that way. I think he was giving me too much credit of being a smart guy, and which actually I did prove to be because, as we discussed a life, and he told me he was in California for much of the last 25 years, but he's working in New York now. I said, "Well, can you get a good piece of pastrami out there?" And he said, "Well, it's not like Vilnius, but it's not bad. But you know what gets me?" I said, "What?" He said, "The bagels, they have no pull to them out there. You bite into a bagel, it just collapses."
I've heard that before,
And I said, "Listen.
It's totally different.
What do the Goyim care about food?" And that's when he looked at me. Goyim is, for people that don't know Yiddish, for a Gentile, a Christian, and it's really not a bad word. It's just what we call you when we're alone. And so Mel looked at me, with like I had some insight now. And he said, "You're absolutely right. Give them tuna on toast and they're happy." And from there, we just talked a little bit more about things. And so by far, the best fare.
And what year was that?
This would have been when the producers opened, maybe within the first year. So I'm guessing, maybe 2003, 2002, right in there,
Yeah, that is pretty memorable. I mean, of all
yeah, for me,
for someone who's a personal hero of yours to then get in the back,
totally a personal hero.
I
want to
hear the last thing of it when he you said you want a receipt, and he said,
"You want a receipt," and this is something I've never heard before or since. "I'm rich. I don't need receipts." That's what Mel said.
Well,
he's
committed, right?
Yeah. Listen, what are you going to do? I'm sure he has a good accountant. Yeah.
All right. What about what was your worst fare? Do you have one that stands out, like the nightmare fare, the one that was just just...
You know, I would have to say, Ben, it's not one. I've been fortunate. I've never been robbed. So, you know, that would stick out if you were.
In how many years have you been doing this?
30 years.
Okay.
The better part of 30 years.
That gives me confidence in mankind, I think, just a little bit.
I think it helps driving during the day because, honestly, it's not as... even in the 80s and 90s, maybe as dangerous as you might imagine, because, you know, you're picking up New Yorkers that are going to work, they're doing their regular routine. You know, at night, I think it's a little more freewheeling, and it could be better, like the highs are higher and the lows are lower, probably.
Okay.
I think during the day, it's a little more even
keel.
So I would have to say the worst, just for me personally, anytime I go to JFK, other than 5 in the morning, would be the worst, because it's a flat rate. And I resent that because a lot of times there's awful traffic. If anyone has seen the Van Wyck, it's a nightmare to drive on. It takes forever. And so you're stuck no matter how long it takes. So any JFK, for people out there, I actually convinced someone, Ben, just a couple of days ago to take the subway to the air train. It was a big victory on my part. I was so pleased. She paid me. She
By
was very
the way,
happy to do that.
It is the Van Wyck, is it not? I've always known it as the Van Wyck. I know that some of the traffic reporters now, they say Van Wyck.
Yeah, they're wrong.
To me, it's Van Wyck.
Well, wouldn't Wyck be... I know it's a Dutch name, so...
Yeah, but wouldn't the Dutch say Van Wyck?
Yeah, and so,
Van Wyck!
Right? I mean, if you're going to say Van Wyck, you might as well go all out and say Van Wyck. But if you're not going to say Wyck, then if you're going to say... Wyck? I don't know.
So well, Wyck would have an E at the end.
I don't know.
That
I mean, it's
would
just,
be
it's
the
just
way...
like a little pet peeve of mine.
No,
I always thought it was the Van Wyck, and now, you know, TV and radio traffic people are saying Van Wyck.
Yeah, well.
You ever hear him try to pronounce Kosciuszko Bridge?
I've heard that too, yeah.
A great Polish patriot right there.
And Revolutionary War hero.
That's right.
Yeah, helped us in our struggle for independence. Yes. That's right. You are tuned into The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. I'm Ben Starr, co-host, and along with Julian Gioiello, we're here every Tuesday and Wednesday. We have guests Seth Goldman and Mike Sklier here in the studio. We're hoping to hear maybe a live rendition of one
yes,
of your tunes.
Yes, we are. We do have a little bit of time right before 1:30. Yeah, we've got.
Can we do one now?
Yeah,
let's go for it.
Let me just say quickly about this. So the Bards of Gridlock, this was the title tune. It mentions John McDonough, who has a play on 23rd Street. You can Google the Cell Theater, one word, theatre.org, and get tickets on December 16th.
John's also a WBAI
producer. WBAI has two shows, as you'll find out in the song. And Davidson Garrett, who got me involved in the Penn Workers Writers Workshop, King Lear of the Taxi. He has a collection of poems, which is called King Lear of the Taxi, and you can get that on Amazon. So here we go. It's called The Bards of Gridlock.
Right.
This cabbie dreams to write sweet prose like the traffic ebbs and flows, and like the gas that fuels this ride, the Bards of Gridlock will be your guide. King Lear of the Taxi may ride all day while the cabdivist works on his one-man play. The bards are armed, packing heat, driving down your dirty street. The airport lot's a fertile field, have the friggin' truth revealed. With aches and pains we drive day and night, forever young, continue to write. We don't need no bloody app, be polite or get a verbal slap. Ideas come fast. In our 10th hour, our disposition is sweet, well, sweet and sour. King Lear has a collection you gotta buy. The Captivist has two shows on BAI. Who knows how our long journey's gonna end? Maybe a 45 to the back of the head. This cabbie dreams to write sweet prose like the traffic ebbs and flows, and like the gas that fuels this ride, the Bards of Gridlock will be your guide.
All right, that was the Bards of Gridlock title track. Is that the title track?
That's the title track of the Bards of Gridlock. Yes, thank you.
It's available on Bandcamp.
You can look Seth and Mike Sklyer.
Seth and Sklyer.
If you Google, okay, guys, this is what we're planning, because this is the easiest way to do it.
Sure.
You Google Seth and Sklyer, Sklyar, and you'll find them right on the top there, the Bards of Gridlock, if you want to check them out on Bandcamp. And they've got stuff all over the internet.
Yeah.
And
by the way, I Julian, I like to be Googled repeatedly.
Right, yeah. So if you can Google him 7, 8, 9 times, yeah, he'd really appreciate that.
Yes.
Because he feels it every time you do it. He just feels a little pinch.
Wonderful.
Right
on the side.
Spine.
Right, he's like, someone Googled me.
Yes.
I'm going to have a good night tonight.
There
great. Well, thank you so much for playing that music with us. It's nice. Actually, I think it's the first time I've been in the studio and had some live music, which is which is really fun, and it sounds quite good. Yeah. I wasn't sure who was going to be singing. That's why I was like, wait, are you going to be doing it? But we worked it out there, and
yeah, we got more if you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you met anyone else in the cab, like anyone notable?
Ooh. A lot of people.
Yeah.
There's a cut on the record all about that.
Is there driver passenger confidentiality, or can you tell
no,
us?
No,
he tells everything.
Because exactly. I know this will get you excited, Ben. I don't know if I told you, but I did have Robert De Niro in the cab.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and he's the only person actually to get a freebie. I even charged my grandmother when she was coming in to help clean my apartment about 20 years ago. I actually charged her.
Oh, man.
But he was Travis Bickle. You don't charge Travis Bickle.
Sure.
You know, so.
Of course, Robert De Niro, one of the most iconic taxi drivers in film or television history, probably.
Yes, and for movie fans out there, he looked and was dressed as he was after that fine movie with Jeremy Irons called The Mission. So he had long hair and a long beard. He was carrying a walking stick and basket, and I recognized him right away, and it was very exciting.
You know, there's one De Niro film, I forget the name. It's going to kill me. It starts in New York. It's with Mickey Rourke, and they wind up in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Something Heart, maybe?
Yes.
I don't know that movie.
Somebody find IMDb quick. And
I'm on it right now.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke is the lead.
Is that the one with the woman from The Cosby Show?
Yes. Rourke is a private detective.
Yeah. I didn't see that film.
De Niro is absolutely terrifying in that movie.
Is that when he plays Lucifer? Lou Cipher or something?
Cipher.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable role for him. I mean, that is scary.
Angel Heart.
Angel Heart.
That's it.
And the only other movie where he comes close to being as scary, I think, is Cape Fear.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He was great in that.
An amazing role.
Incredible film. The original with Robert Mitchum is great too.
Yeah.
But you're right. Cape Fear is marvelous.
Well, we're coming up on the break here. I think we're right up against it. And we'll be taking a musical break and coming back.
If you didn't get enough music today already.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Thank you for tuning in, by the way, as we go into a Thanksgiving week edition of The Positive Mind. And we want to thank everyone for your continued support. And thank you for supporting us during the fun drive.
Absolutely. You guys really outdid yourselves during this fun drive. And we're so excited to finally be sending these premiums out to you guys today.
That's right.
And, you know, we raised a lot, actually. So thank you so much for all of those who donated. Thank you for all those who just listen every day. And thank you to WBAI for keeping us here.
Absolutely. And if you have concerns about your premium, if you haven't received your premium within the next week to 10 days, please write us an email at positivemind@wbai.org and let us know, because we are committed to fulfilling 100% of our premiums. It's very important to us that we fulfill those, and you know, you matter to us. So please let us know if you have concerns about your premium arriving. And again, the email is positivemind@wbai.org. For now, let's take a short musical break, and we'll be back after this. Thank you. And that was Betsy's theme from the Taxi Driver original soundtrack, composed by Bernard Herrmann, who, by the way, also a New Yorker and an absolute giant of composition for film and television. He won an Academy Award. He did the music for Psycho, North by Northwest, Vertigo, Citizen Kane, Cape Fear, that we were just discussing earlier, and Taxi Driver, and also The Twilight Zone. I don't know if I mentioned that. So Bernard Herrmann and the Betsy's theme, the music from Taxi Driver, iconic 1970s movie.
Does that capture the streets of New York, that sound?
Sorry about that.
Does that sound capture the streets
absolutely.
Of New York? Wow.
Yeah, it's,
that was his last soundtrack, too, I think.
It was. And then he died just a year later.
Oh,
but that is certainly a wonderful tune. And I thought it was, hey, you know, very relevant today as we have a taxi driver on the air.
Yeah. And speaking of taxi drivers, I wanted to hear a little bit about, I mean, I know you had Mel Brooks and Robert De Niro, which is incredible and just crazy. But
by the way, Robert De Niro, half Jewish.
Half Jewish. All right. Yes. So we had King of the Jews and then their
a Jew and a half, right here. Yes.
But also, I wanted to hear about, I mean, here on The Positive Mind, we kind of talk about, we want to dig in a little bit. Mm. I wanted to hear if you've had any experiences with somebody where they sort of came into your cab, you maybe had a 30-minute fare with them, and they left, leaving you with something, maybe not physical, or maybe physical, but but something that's changed you and affected you in a strong way. Because I feel like when you run into all these kinds of people from all walks of life, I mean,
yes,
all walks of life, I'd love to just hear, you know, what kind of effect they have on you.
Yeah. I always say my favorite fares are really not a celebrity or celebrity is someone that's just famous, you know, obviously Mel and Robert De Niro they're artists, they're really talented, but really it's just the everyday New Yorker gives me joy, if maybe that's going a little too far, but makes me happy you know, pick them up and deliver them quickly and safely and do a professional job. You know, recently I had a poet in my cab, a longtime New Yorker. I believe he was born here. Certainly has lived here all his adult life. And his name was Pete. And, we had a great conversation. He gave me his book of poetry. And, I told him about the Bards of Gridlock. I didn't feel him Googling me. I hope he did Google me repeatedly. But he probably did. But what happened was, and this is a lesson for everyone that takes a taxi, always take your receipt, because when you leave something in the taxi, chances are New Yorkers are good people, and the next person will say, hey, someone left this flute in the taxi. And which Pete did, and it was a beautiful flute. I actually didn't really look at it closely till I got home. It had a beautiful case. It was actually a handmade flute by a Chinese artist for Pete, and he took the receipt, and so he was quickly able to get in contact with me.
So if Mel Brooks left something, he wouldn't have got it back.
Mel Brooks made a mistake.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. He would have said, well, he's a Jewish boy. He's a little smart. He's a smart aleck. That's all I know about him. I don't have his medallion number. Absolutely. Pete had the medallion number because he had the receipt. And so we had this precious instrument. He came over our place, my wife and I. He brought us champagne. We got really wasted. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to work the next morning. We had a great time.
All right, one last one before we hear another tune from you guys, and we start maybe taking some phone calls. Have you ever fallen in love with one of your passengers?
That's a good one.
Maybe, you know, not in the sense, you know, forever.
But yeah.
Just that moment where somebody came in and you say, I wish I knew this person, and I wish that this was not just a cab drive, but, you know, something else.
Well, what comes to mind, you know, quickly is a Japanese woman I had in the cab. Now, granted, her English was poor, or I thought so, but, you know, I really don't have that much to say anyway. So in terms of love relationships, it's perfectly...
Oh, yeah, it could be totally silent.
Yeah, exactly. But she wanted to go, I remember this, at Penn Station,
Penn Station. She wanted to go to the Asia Society on Park Avenue and 67th Street. And there was a lot going on that day. Bill Clinton was president. Benjamin Netanyahu was meeting him around Columbus Circle. So I had to turn around to her and tell her, listen, I'm going to go south a little bit and then across, and we're going to go up Park Avenue. It's a little out of, I'm looking at it now when I'm saying this, it's a little out of the way, but we can't go up, you know, 8th Avenue and go around Columbus Circle, which I normally would do because of Benjamin Netanyahu sure. and President Clinton. And she's looking at me, and I'm thinking to myself, she doesn't really understand what I'm saying. And she's just looking at me, and, you know, I just turn around and start driving. I thought her eyes sort of said, like, okay, whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she says, big shot. I said, excuse me? And I turn around. She's smiling. She says, big shot. I said, oh, you understand what I said, what took me, you know, 60 seconds to say. Mm-hmm. Two words. Her English isn't great.
Big shot.
She narrowed it down. I mean, that is a brilliant, she's a brilliant poet. At that moment, I wanted to dive into the back of the cab and give her a big kiss on the lips.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that. Again, I'm a professional. I drove her there quickly and safely. But I'll never forget that the way that she just condensed that right down to that big shot blew me away. She,
maybe
her
was
English
talking
was
about
bad.
You.
Oh,
no,
there you go.
I don't
there you
think
go.
So. I think she was right on the money there.
Yeah, I find it so interesting because you end up sort of being this guardian of whoever's in your cab for the next half hour, and they, especially when they come from a foreign country or something like that, they yeah. sort of just like, please take me where I need to go, and I trust you now. And there's a sort of trust there.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's why I wanted to know if there was any kind of, maybe not, you know, like like actual, like, you know, love, like I want to marry this woman, or like, but like, you know, like an intimate experience, you know,
yeah.
it's something that breaks down that plastic wall right in between you guys.
Sure.
But yeah, thanks for sharing that with us.
I got a quick question that only requires a quick answer, and you don't have to explain it. What, just out of curiosity, what has been the largest fare you've run up on the meter in terms of dollars and cents?
I guess it was, quickly in my memory, Japanese again, two Japanese men.
Sounds like the way to go.
That went up to Bear Mountain.
Oh, wow.
You know where that is? It's probably
about
60 miles north along the Hudson.
An hour and a half, 2 hours up?
Well, not that. It was like around probably 10, 11 o'clock. So traffic wasn't awful. Less than 2 hours, but probably a little more than an hour. And I think this is probably... probably less than 10 years ago, more than five, and it was, I think it was about $200.
Wow, one
like
fare.
That. Yeah, one fare. Yeah.
Incredible.
I actually had one friend during Hurricane Sandy. He was going a little nuts, and he gave a taxi driver $800 to drive him as far as he could into Jersey, but all the tunnels were closed and stuff, so he ended up just driving him to like the train station, and then he just threw the money at him and left.
Wow.
And I was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Well,
that's
a good day for a cabbie.
I was driving on September 11th, 2001, and...
yeah, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, there was one moment where a guy had like a few hundreds and came over to me and said, I think he wanted to go to Dobbs Ferry. And at that point...
didn't they have shut down all the bridges?
Yes, that's what I told him. I said, listen, I'd love to take you there. It's very generous of you, but I can't take you there because right now there's no way to leave the city except I think they had just opened the 59th Street Bridge and the Midtown Tunnel. But for some reason, they opened that first for some reason. I don't know why. And then eventually the other... passageways off the island were open. So there was one moment. It was a crazy day. Obviously, New Yorkers walking, you know, with dust on them all over the city. But, you know, you have, as you said, about lightening it up, having a sense of humor. Boy, if there ever was a time where, you know, you had to laugh or you'd be crying, it was that day. And I had this woman in the cab, and she was going up to 116th Street, and there was a lot of traffic because everyone... panicking, really, we're trying to get out.
Trying to get away from downtown.
Yeah, and trying to get east at that time, get off the island, going to Long Island. And it took forever to get past 59th Street, and then it was like nobody there, and we're listening to BAI, actually. You know, Bernie Getz was on BAI that morning when the towers went down.
Really?
Being interviewed.
Of all people.
He was running for mayor, and he said he has a vegetarian.
He didn't win, spoiler alert.
He didn't win. He has a vegetarian platform. That was a big issue for him. Anyway, so I said to her, after Paul gave this announcement about the towers collapsing, and I said, listen, let's pull over and have sex, because I think this might be the end of the world right now.
Whoa.
That's what I said. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, you know, through the rearview mirror, and a little smile came on her face. And you know what she said to me? And I've heard this a lot in my day. I've been married 25 years, so this would be before that. Nice try.
Nice try.
So that was my September 11th moment. Wow. And I kind of was in love with that woman for that moment. But that was a very emotional day, of course. So
yeah. Wow. Thanks for sharing that with us. We're going to hear a little tune from the Bards of Gridlock once again. Pass that microphone over to Sklyer.
Actually, this one of mine, actually. Generous of you guys to let me do it. But it kind of fits into a theme you guys have done here, I think, which is all the social media stuff and everything, you know? So this one is called You're Fine, How Am I? I saw your status update, like. I saw that photo of you on your new bike. You're walking and talking and watching and eating, and somehow find time for that business meeting. On social media, we are never tongue-tied. You're fine, how am I? I saw your post about your new blood test. Those numbers really have the world so impressed. Photos of your friends and every permutation are being retweeted across the nation. What happened to the days when folks would hide? You're fine. How am I? How am I? I guess if you look at my Facebook page, I've never been better. But would I paint a different picture if I wrote you a letter? Everyone's doing great except when they ain't. But look at us all, we all sounding just like saints. Everyone's active and perfectly framed, never self-conscious and never ashamed. And so I say it again with a sigh. You're fine, how am I?
Yeah, that was nice.
That's
nice
one of mine. Stuff.
So that's called You're Fine,
You're
How
Fine,
Am I?
You're Fine, How Am I? Actually, the title track on my record, if I can be just slightly slightly self-promotional here. Also on Bandcamp, just Google Mike Sklyer. I'll get that tingly feeling, too.
That is S-K-L-I-A-R.
That's it. Sklyer. Thank you.
Thank you guys for being here today. This has been a special guest edition of The Positive Mind, talking to Seth Goldman, New York City longtime Yellow Cab driver, and Mike Sklyer, musician, who also collaborates with Seth around some poetry that they've set to music, which you got to hear earlier in the program, in the first half of the program. And again, if you want to hear more of that, just Google Seth and Sklyer, S-K-L-I-A-R.
Yeah, and you'll find them right on the top.
Right at the top.
Right on the top.
And one other quick thing. You know, I got involved in these workshops with Penn, and there's one coming up, and it's for all kinds of workers. I mean, anyone can show up December 5th. It's at the Tenement Museum, which is on Delancey and Orchard, 1 p.m. at the Tenement Museum, December 5th, first Saturday of December. And it's a great workshop. We all write. You don't have to have any experience. I didn't when I first showed up there. And then you get to perform what you've done over the course of a bunch of workshops in the first week of May at the week-long Penn Festival promoting literature here in New York City. It's really so much fun. It's
what does that
event.
Stand for, Penn? P-E-N.
I think it stands for poetry, essay, novels, which, you know, they're promoting literature, they're promoting writing, and particularly with workers, miners, cab drivers, domestic workers. You know, and you know, Ben, there's two kinds of people in the world, workers and bosses. So bosses are not welcome, but workers are. And that, frankly, that is most of us. So I hope some folks listening to Positive Mind can come down to the Tenement Museum. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, we actually have 5 minutes, 7 minutes left. I want to try to get one call in here for Seth. If you're interested in asking a cab driver something without him running out and driving off.
Or if you've driven a cab or drive a cab and want to relate your story.
Call us at 212-757-5555, 212-757-5555. We want to just get one call in here on the Positive Mind.
Yeah, maybe time for just one.
Yeah, and we'll, you know, we might not even get that, but you know, we'll see what happens. If you want, just make a call to 212-757-5555. If you're in a cab right now, pull over real quick. You know, spend a couple minutes
safely all the way to the curb.
Yes. Don't hit any bikers. But yeah, anyway, so we've got Seth Goldman in here and Mike Squire. They've been playing some music for you today, and Seth Goldman is a longtime cab driver, and we got a phone call coming in right now.
Yeah, and just to tell once again the story of how I met Seth. It was at a Met game, New York Mets baseball game in August, and there were 40,000 people in the stadium, and I wound up sitting right next to Seth and Sandy Boyer, who is also a producer here at WBAI, and I recognized Sandy from a WBAI meeting, and that's how I started talking to them, and that's how I got to know Seth. And I thought, you know, when I heard about Seth's poetry and what he does, I thought it'd be perfect to bring him on and hear some of that and hear it performed and hear the recordings. So, Seth, thanks for being here. We have Perry on the line. Perry, thanks for calling in.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say the music is great, and I love Seth and Mike. They're both great.
Thank you.
Ask Seth about...
Yeah, you can actually talk to Seth right now.
When he picked up that robber, that's a pretty cool story.
Hello, Perry. How are you?
Hey, Perry.
Hey, Mike.
All right. The robber. That is a funny story. Quickly,
you were a getaway driver.
Kind of. Port Authority. About
he may or may have not been a
getaway driver. Neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
statute of limitations has passed.
I'll say straight. So he wants to go to 147th between Amsterdam and Broadway from Port Authority. It's probably like 5:30 to 6 in the morning. Okay, so I'm going up there, and when I take the highway and I get off, and I notice now there's a car following us, clearly. It looks like a police car. I mean, I couldn't tell for sure, and, you know, I made a left onto Amsterdam, car still behind us, and make a left onto 147th. He says, okay, I'm getting off here, pull over, and I see the car is right behind us, door opens, the guy has a gun coming to the car, and I'm like,
wow.
Oh my God, I hope that is a police officer. I have no idea what that, you know, what's going to happen here. It was almost too quick to be, you know, freaked totally. And the door, he opens the back seat, you know, and he puts the gun on the guy. He says, get out of the cab. Other guy comes to pass to the driver's side, to my side, and says, please get out. Let me see your identification. And, then he looks at it and he says, that guy, his accomplice and him robbed a bank in Mineola. And he's looking at my identification. He said, okay, you're fine. How much do you make a day driving a taxi? The police officer says to me.
Wow.
I said, you know, I do okay. But that was frightening. I really haven't thought of that for a very long time. Perry's a friend of mine certainly and brought that up, but that was a frightening moment.
Cool,
but it wasn't.
Thanks for bringing that one up. It's always interesting to hear another story like that.
Yeah,
I actually got Seth to start driving a cab 30 years ago. I was an old cabbie myself, and unfortunately, I got him into the business.
Yeah, that's I didn't even think. Yeah, that's true, Perry. I guess you did. I hate you for that.
We're actually going to try to get one more call in here. Thank you so much for calling, Perry, and bringing that up. And
all right, take care, bye.
Thanks,
take
bye. Care.
And
quick call, 212-757-5555. Give us a call real quick right before the top of the hour. Real quick, if you could, 212-757-44, excuse me.
5555.
Yes, 212-757-5555.
Yep, just four fives at the end there if you want to call in.
Right in a row.
We'll try to get one more in the next couple of minutes here, just so we can get one more question out of Seth. Hey, if not, we'll just hang and talk to him and, you know, like,
hey.
play it on a song. So we heard about a robber. We heard about Mel Brooks, Robert De Niro. We heard about many Japanese people. I don't know.
Well, how many different nations do you think? Because obviously there's people here from all over the world.
Absolutely.
How many different nationalities do you think you've transported over your 30-year career of driving a cab?
Well, I think there's a
would have been a better question to ask, how many nations have you not transported?
Well, I was going to say, I think there's just north of 200 official nations. I think New York has something like probably 170 nations represented in its population. So, I mean, I imagine I've probably transported somewhere close to that 170, you know, really. And by the way, you know, even if you're at the lot at LaGuardia, I mean, you should see all the different nationalities represented just amongst taxi drivers.
Oh,
you
sure,
know, I
yeah.
mean, a lot of people think, well, they're just Indians or you know, Muslims or whatever. But actually, within that group, there's a lot of diversity.
There's a huge amount of diversity, and you know, we've seen that, I think, not just in terms of cabbies, but citywide in the last few decades. If you want to go back to the demographic shifts that we've seen just since the 80s or 90s, I mean, it's incredible.
We actually have one more caller. I think it's Fatima. Fatima, you there?
That's correct. Yeah.
Hey, what's your question for Seth? Well, real quick, we have 1 minute.
I wanted to make a statement. I enjoyed listening to the show.
Thank you.
And I remember September 11th driving and listening to the Getz running for mayor.
You actually remember the same exact show,
huh? The same exact, yeah.
Wow, great.
As I was driving, I'm on the same street I was on that time, Hempstead Turnpike in Franklin Square.
Wow.
On my way to work, and I'm on the street, the same street now, in the other direction.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, oh my God, I got a call.
What a thing.
I'm so glad you called in, Fatima.
Incredible.
And I enjoyed the cabbie stories. They were awesome.
And by the way, we're all islanders. We are. We all live on islands here in New York City, except for the Bronx boys and girls. So we're all islanders. So thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Fatima. I'm glad that memory was able to kind of bring you guys together. And then there's a sort of community sense that comes along with WBAI and the cab driving community and the everyman in New York City. And we were so glad to.
I take a lot of cabs.
Or so, yeah.
I'm a cab queen.
It's such a strange coincidence. Thank you so much for calling. We're going to actually be ending our show right now. My name is Julian Joiello. We have Benjamin Starr in here hosting, of course. And we have Seth Goldman, our cabbie, and Mike Sklier playing the guitar and the harmonica and singing. And Seth Goldman also singing. If you want to listen to their music, you can Google Seth and Sklier, Sklier. And give them a little pinch in their mind.
Thank you guys both so much for making it out here today. We appreciate it a lot.
It's been a really,
thanks so much,
really fun show.
And Julian, thank you.
And a unique show. Thank you to our callers, Perry and Fatima.
And thank you to our listeners. We love you guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the break. Enjoy your Thursday and Friday off.
Yeah.
We'll be back Tuesday, and we'll see you then Tuesday, 1 p.m., same time, same place, right here.
Absolutely.
99.5 FM, WBAI, New York. Thanks for listening.
And also, thank you for sticking around yesterday. We wanted to do a show about the holidays.
Yeah, we had a good one, too.
We'll be talking about it next Tuesday at 1 p.m., so stay tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM and The Positive Mind. Take care.
Yeah.